Good morning. Well, I hope you all had a good spring break. And I think a lot of us went traveling. A lot of our kids went traveling. I think of all the prayers that were said for that high school group and all that they were doing. But it's good to see you back. I'm glad you're all here, safe and sound. You know, our study is winding down. Counting this, we have just 4 weeks. It's amazing how quickly this season has gone by, but I have personally loved the study. It's been a blessing for me, and I pray it's been a blessing for you too. Just getting to know some of these names of God, and as I have said to you several times, many of these names were relatively new to me. I mean, I might have heard of them, but I had never really explored them. And this has been just great fun because, in studying his names, we're studying him because his names are all about the work, how he's seen in our lives. And so I pray that this has been a blessing for you as well. Next week, we're going to have part two of Jackie's testimony. And so for those of you who might have missed the first time when she shared a couple of weeks ago, I would encourage you to go online and listen to it so you have the first part of what she shared, which was absolutely wonderful. I told her I love the fact that we have this ability to just go online and hear. So if we miss, or like in the case of my daughter-in-law, my daughter, she was in the hospital with her mother-in-law who had had surgery, and they were able to just put it on and listen to it, and she said it was so wonderful. And that's down in Medford, in a hospital, you know. But that's when I'm really happy that we do record these, that they are available. So do listen to the first part if you haven't heard it, and then expect to be blessed next week when you come, because what she shares is really precious. It's kind of like, in fact, a couple of women said this too, it was like we were all in her living room, you know, just listening to her stories. And I don't think any of us outgrow the love of just having stories told to us. And her stories are just so, so special. The name we're going to be looking at this morning is El Elyon, which means Most High. I love it because Amy didn't know that, and yet that was in the words to the songs we were singing this morning, and I love how the Lord brings that connection. You might remember from the first name we studied, which was Elohim, that El means strong. And in Elohim, it's basically saying strong creator. Well, in Elyon, it means highest or most. And that means not the way, you know, we speak in superlatives, don't we? You know, we say, oh, it was the greatest, you know, it was huge. And that's the way we talk. But we're talking here the highest, you know, the most high. Nothing tops it. Nothing is higher. And that's the God we're going to be reading about this morning. It means that the Lord is God of gods, Lord of lords, King of kings. You've read those phrases, the ultimate God. It's a name that stresses God's strength, God's sovereignty and supremacy, and reveals that God is the highest being, greater than both angels and men. Everyone else is below him. This name is often associated with creation, revealing that he is both sovereign and owner or possessor of the heaven and the earth. Colossians 1, 16 and 17 says, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. El Elyon appears 20 times in the Old Testament. 19 of those times it's found in Psalms. El Elyon's first appearance in Scripture is in Genesis 14, where we also read about the first battle that was ever recorded in Scripture. If you want to turn to Genesis 14, you can. You know, this is a battle we probably wouldn't even know about if it weren't for the fact that Abram's nephew Lot was taken hostage in it. You might remember that he was living by Sodom, and four kings just came in and wiped everybody out, carried everyone away, men, women, children, and Lot was part of that. And when Abram heard about it, he, even though to our understanding he wasn't a fighting man, we don't read about Abram being a warrior or a battle. What? I can't. Oh, spelling. Okay, I couldn't read. She had it in pencil and she's holding up a sign. Okay, capital E-L, then capital E-L-Y-O-N. So getting back to Genesis 14. So all we know is that even though Abram wasn't a warrior, he just grabbed 318 of his men, went out, battled against these four kings, and who knows how many were in their armies. We can only imagine if these are kings and their armies, there must have been many. And he won, you know? I love that. We'll pick up in verse 18 after returning from the battle. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. So that's the first time we see it. And he blessed Abram, saying, blessed by Abram, be Abram, by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. It was El Elyon, the God Most High, who fought that battle, who delivered those people into Abram's hand. You know, like Lot, we can be taken captive too, can't we? I thought of the different things that can snare us, can be like little prisons for us. Might be fear, anger, addiction, depression, financial problems, unforgiveness can hold us hostage. We read that in Matthew 18 where Jesus compared not forgiving with being thrown into a prison and being tormented by the jailers. All of these things can be like prisons to us. We can be held hostage by them. And yet what we need to remember is the same God who delivered Lot when he was held hostage. That same God, El Elyon, will deliver us. God is Most High. He's over all and in all. He's sovereign. He's created the world, and it's his. Perhaps you'd like to turn to Psalm 50. I'm going to read the first 15 verses. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. A fire devours before him, and around him a tempest rages. He summons the heavens above and the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather to me, my consecrated ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens. For every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and all that is in it. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Sacrifice thank offerings to God. Fulfill your vows to the Most High. Verse 15, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. I love this because the first 14 verses, all we are reading about is how powerful God is, how he made the world, how he created it, owns it, everything, single thing in it is already his. He possesses it all. I love that phrase, and Corrie Ten Boom used to share it often, you know, that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And so as we're focusing on him as God Most High, it's like revving up more and more and more. And then in verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. I love that the Most High God is not far off from us. Though he is powerful, though there is nothing higher than he is, it's not like he is austere. It's not like he is out of reach. He says, call upon me, and I will deliver you. And I don't know how many here today are having trouble in their day, in their lives. But always remember that the Lord, multiple times in his word, says, call upon me. And I love the fact that he is so approachable to us, that he loves us, and he wants us to call upon him. You know, there's no problem that we can bring to him that's too big for him. That's the blessing. In Psalm 79:9, it says, help us, O God, our Savior, for the glory of your name. Deliver us and forgive our sins for your name's sake. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I have this year in studying the names of God, how many times he is referred to according to his name. You know, it's referenced, you know, for your name's sake. And I love that because he is true. He is faithful, and he will always be true to his name. The things that we have learned about him this year, we can pray, we can put into our lives. We can count on him for his faithfulness to be that very person that we have studied about. I love the fact that, as it says in this Psalm 79, oh, help us, God, our Savior. And again, that here he is, the Most High God, and he's our Savior. You know, the God who spoke the world into being loves us, wants us to spend eternity with him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what he wants for us. But if we would have Elyon rule our lives, then there must not be compromise in our lives. We can't compromise with the enemy and expect to be able to say that the Most High rules. Because if we're surrendering to the enemy, it's the enemy who's ruling in our lives at that time. Look to the Lord, look to the Most High. Don't compromise. I mean, what was Lot doing outside of Sodom? That was a sinful city. Huge compromise on Lot's part. And I think if we were to trace back in our own lives for the times that we have had some of our greatest struggles with sin, with temptation, we would see compromise. We would see a point where we veered off the road, and it might have been ever so slight at first, but we veered off. There was compromise. We need to give God's word the authority in our lives that it deserves. It needs to be the final word. And we need to align ourselves with his word, be obedient to it, not just look for the comforting verses that bless us, that warm our hearts, that encourage us, that give us hope, even though those are all wonderful. And they're in the word to do just that. But we are also to look to him and to know that he has a strong word. And we are to align ourselves with his word. Where he says yes, we say yes. Where he says no, we say no. You know, is the enemy taking you hostage in any area of your life today? I hear that expression. You know, when we'll say it's like I'm held captive, I'm held hostage by this. And yet for all the things that I addressed, every one of those things, the word addresses. If you're having trouble with anger, multiple verses on anger. If you're having trouble with depression, multiple verses on depression, on unforgiveness. All of the things that I suggested, God's word addresses it all. There's not one of us who is in a prison of our own making, maybe, that the Lord can't deliver us from. And he wants to deliver us. He tells us to call on him in the day of trouble, that he will deliver us. But if we're going to have him deliver us, that means we don't argue with his word. We obey it. We don't try to justify our feelings or our thoughts as if this is the one exception to the rule. We're obedient to his word. We consider his word the last word in our lives. If you watch the news at all, you're very, very aware that right now they're trying to get the confirmation for a new judge in the Supreme Court. I mean, so what is the big deal? Why is it so important that who is put in this elite group? You know, what does it matter? It matters because the Supreme Court in our country has the last word regarding the law of the land. The last word. That's the Supreme Court. We need to recognize that even as we have to, in this land, submit to those laws, the Lord would say, my word needs to be the last word in your life. And I'd ask you to ask yourself today, would you say that his word is the last word in your life? Or is it just one of many? Do you go to it to just kind of see what it says? We don't go to God to ask for his opinion. We don't go to six friends and get all of their opinions, then go to God to say, so what do you say, God? As if, well, let me just, you know. God's word needs to be the last word. God Most High has spoken in his word, and we need to give it that authority. If we would have him deliver us from the enemy and from whatever is holding us hostage, we need to honor God's word and to give him that authority in our lives. Psalm 97, verse 9 says, for you, O Lord, are the most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. Verse 10, let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of his faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. Even as El Elyon is able to deliver, he's also able to protect. Turn to Psalm 91. And I'm going to read it all because I love this psalm so much. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Verse 9, if you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Verse 14, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I have so much of this highlighted and underlined. I have circled in those last three verses all the wills because I love to read it that way and be reminded, this is what he is saying he will do. And I think of the countless times that this psalm has comforted me and blessed me. Did you notice in the first verse, that there are two names? First, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, El Elyon, will rest in the shadow of the Almighty, El Shaddai. They're both names that speak of power. But El Shaddai has kind of a different way of the power. It's his all-sufficiency, his great bounty and his blessings in our lives. So both with power, but of a different kind. El Elyon overrules our weakness and vulnerability with his strength. El Shaddai overrules our insufficiency with his sufficiency. You know, and again, we have to remember that these names are not competing with each other. You know, we've talked about that, just hearing so many names, and I joked about, you know, whether you ever fall into the trap of thinking, oh, am I calling him by the right name? Am I praying to the right name here? You know, it's all the Lord. Just different ways of seeing him. They're all reflecting the one true God. I don't know how many of you love Psalm 91 the way I do, but it's been one that I have dated and highlighted in every single one of my Bibles. I was going to say it's my favorite, but then I thought, well, it's one of my favorites because I do love the Psalms. But I love the fact that the Most High assures us of safety, that he offers his shelter in the storms and rest for us in the turmoil of this life. The thing that we need to remember is that this is not a promise to the world in general, but to the person who is in relationship with the Most High, to the person who dwells, it says in verse 9. If you make the Most High your dwelling, if you live with him, if you live in his presence. And then I love verse 5, and I'm just going to read the first four words. You will not fear. And I love that because I do believe that women are particularly given to fear. And at different times in my life, I know that I have considered myself a rather fearful person. And I thank the Lord so much for the work he has done in me through that. I've shared with you about when I first became a single mom and the battle that I would go through every night when I'd shut off the light and think of myself as the sole adult in my house. And what if there were a fire? What if somebody broke in? And how the Lord gave me Psalm 4, verse 8. You know, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. And I told you how I wrote that on a little 3x5 card, put it on my nightstand. And every single night, right before shutting off the light, I would pick that up and I would look at it again. And over a period of time, the Lord just used that scripture to go right to my heart so that somewhere along the line, all I know is that I had peace. I knew that I was dwelling in safety. I remember when I moved to Jacksonville, and I was living in a historic home. And it was kind of removed from other houses, even though I could see a house from my home if I was outside. If we still was on the top of a hill that was pretty removed from any neighbor right there. And my bedroom was on the main floor and looked out onto a little side street that went right by. And one night I was in bed and just kind of drifting off to sleep, and I thought I heard a vehicle outside my window. So I, peek out the window, and there's a little pickup, and it's not right in front, it's a little bit to the side, it's a little pickup, and it's just there with the engine running and the lights on, and I'm just curious, well, why is it stopped? Because there'd be nothing to do up there, you know? So I'm just looking at it, and pretty soon I see a man get out of the passenger side, and the pickup drives away. And I thought, that's curious, so I'm watching, and then I see him start walking toward my house. And he walks, and I'm looking as far as I can see, and he kind of disappears, but he's in the direction of my home. So I go to the other side of the house where I have the vantage point of looking out in the backyard, and I'm looking into the dark, and pretty soon he emerges and he's standing there in my backyard, and I can see that he's smoking a cigarette. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, what is this man doing in my backyard? And so I'm praying, and all I can tell you is I just kind of thought, I'm going back to bed. And I went back to bed, climbed in bed, conked right out. The next day I happened to be having lunch with Brett and Tad. And so I'm telling them this story. I'm just saying, boy, kind of strange last night. And I'm telling them what happened. And they're both sitting there listening to me. And then they said, well, what did you do? You know, and I said, I just went back to bed and went to sleep. And the two of them again, I mean, they were so much fun in those days. Well, they're still fun. But they just kind of looked at each other, looked at me, and said in unison, 911. But what that particular situation kind of showed me was, oh my goodness, there would have been a time I wouldn't have had to be told 911. I mean, I would have done that. But somewhere in those years, that fear that had been so gripping had just kind of gone away. So I love the fact that it says in verse 5, you will not fear. And yet what I also love is look at what follows it. It says some pretty frightening things, you know, the terror of night, the arrow that flies by day, pestilence that stalks in darkness, plague that destroys at midday. You know, he's talking about some pretty horrific things, but he's saying, you will not fear. I love that. And looking out at women, I know that some of you really battle with fear as well. And it's not that we are to be foolish. I mean, looking back, I should have called 911. It's not that we're to be foolish, but we are to realize God Most High is watching over us. And he promises to protect us. The psalm reassures us that we will not fear, verse 9, if you make the Most High your dwelling. Even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. Verse 11, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Matthew Henry said, if Jehovah be our God, our refuge and our fortress, what can we desire which we may not be sure to find in him? He is neither fickle nor false, neither weak nor mortal. He is God and not man, and therefore there is no danger of being disappointed in him. You know, we can say, as Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, I know whom I have believed, and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. I know whom I have believed. And I am so thankful in studying his names. I'm getting to know him better, to love him more. That's what this whole study has been about, getting to know the Lord and to be able to recognize him in our lives. And so we've seen how the Most High can deliver us, how he can protect us, and now we're going to consider how he's able to do beyond what we would ever consider in our little minds. Turn to Luke 1. And this is the story of when God sent Gabriel to Mary. And I'm going to read 10 verses. Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Verse 34, how will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Our God, Most High, is beyond what any of us can even imagine. How we need to ask him to help us to see him rightly. All too often, I think we somehow put the limitations of man on him. The fickleness of man on him, the weakness of man, the indifference of man on him. But God is faithful, not fickle. And he's never indifferent to our needs. He loves us and how we need to see him rightly. I hope you'll just sit and ask the Lord, maybe even some point today, say, Lord, help me to see you rightly. Am I seeing you rightly? Seated upon the throne, sovereign, in complete control, mighty, all powerful. Lord, is that the way I'm seeing you? How we need him to enlarge our view and our understanding of him. Ask the Lord to help you in that, because it will be then that we will truly worship him and accept his word as the last word of authority in our lives. That is the biggest emphasis I have felt with the teaching this morning is seeing him for who he is, that he is the Most High. Nothing is above him. And yet he's a personal God. He loves us. He says he'll deliver us to call out to him. He'll protect us that we don't need to fear. But he must be seen rightly. His authority needs to be the last word in our lives. Psalm 24 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters." El Elyon is mighty. He's sovereign. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. And yet, if you were reading the one-year Bible this morning, you will see that there was in Deuteronomy 26 where he says, "The Lord has declared today that you are his people, his own special treasure." See, I think that's why we have trouble. We cannot imagine, our little minds cannot take in that this Almighty God, God Most High, would also love us, would think of us as his own treasure. We need to have his word be the last word in our lives. Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever." Let's pray. Father, it is my prayer that you would help us to see you rightly. Lord, you reveal yourself to us in so many ways. And I thank you, Lord, that you are the one who can deliver us when we're being held hostage by the enemy. That you are the one, Lord, who can protect us in a world where there are dangers on every side. And Lord, that you are the one who can do above and beyond anything we could ever ask or think. That you love us, Lord. Lord, help us to surrender to you, to submit to you, to accept you and your word as the last word in our lives. Help us, God, to be obedient, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.